It is certainly great to see you today. Thank you very much. As Justin mentioned earlier, for being a part of our services here at Azalea City, we're thankful for those who have led us in our worship this morning. We're also thankful for those who have not only come out here but tuned in to us online. Thankful for those who have been sick who are better. Thankful for those who've had surgery and are back. Susan, it's great to see you today. You're such an inspiration to us all, and we appreciate you very, very much. The last few weeks, we've talked a lot about slaying giants. That lesson ended last week, that series of lessons ended last week, but the thought is still there, right? We still are going to have obstacles that God is going to allow Satan to put in our way, but we also have the blessing that God, who allows Satan to do it, is the one who gives us strength to overcome them. And so because of that, we can overcome anything. Remember, with God, all things are possible. So now that we have slayed some giant obstacles, some giant temptations, some giant things, roadblocks, if you will, that stand in our way, what we need to do now is build a new us. We need to renew where we are. We need to examine. Here we are in the last part of this year. Isn't that hard to believe? We are in the Burr months, if you will. And so because we're in these Burr months, this is the last part of the year. And so we need to examine where we are. As this year draws to an end, as this service is where it is in this part of our worship, and it draws to a conclusion today, and we examine our lives, we examine ourselves, I want to ask you, how is your relationship with God? You see, what it boils down to is the heart. The heart is critical, right? We know it physically, because if our heart stops beating, then we are no longer here. Well, spiritually, if our heart stops beating, there is still hope. But it's a very dangerous place. The reason there's still hope is because Christ hasn't returned yet. So today I want to look at the heart. And the reason I want to look at the heart, as I start a series on changing, building a new you, the reason I want to look at the heart is because God has always looked at the heart. In fact, if you go back to 1 Chronicles 28 verse 9, he's talking to Solomon. And here's what he says. As for you, my son Solomon, know the God of your father and serve him with a loyal heart and with a willing mind. For the Lord searches all hearts and understands all the intent of the thoughts. If you seek him, he will be found by you. But if you forsake him, he will cast you off forever. Now, he's telling that to Solomon, who obviously allowed his heart to be led in a lot of different directions besides God. But right here, God gets the point across to us, right, as we read this, that we need to serve him with a loyal heart. Because he understands and he searches all the hearts. You remember, David was a man who was after God's own heart. God used the heart as the core of what we do for all times. If you look at 2 Chronicles 16 verse 9, now he's saying this to King Asa, who was king of Judah. In verse 9 of 2 Chronicles 16, it reads like this, "For the eyes of the Lord run to and fro throughout the whole earth to show himself strong on behalf of those whose heart is loyal to him. In this you have done foolishly, therefore from now on you shall have wars." He's talking to Asa there. But the point is this, God is searching to and fro, and if our heart is loyal to him, he is going to take care of us. So today, I can always hear my brother Larry Hancock say? Well, that's a heart problem. Today, if you are not faithful, if you are not reading, if you are not giving, if you are not praying, remember, we sang a lot today about my heart is hard, my prayers are cold. If you are not serving, if you are not encouraging, if you are not doing the things that God said, producing fruit, like the fruit of the Spirit says, that love, that joy, that peace, etc. If we're not doing that, then where we need to look, first and foremost, is our heart. So today, as we build this new you, we've slayed these giants in our lives, I want you to think about the heart. And I want you to specifically think about your heart this morning. In fact, Bo read to us from Ephesians chapter 6. In Ephesians chapter 6, we have the story there. It's a great story. It's a great lesson. It's a great object lesson, too, to picture in our heads. Paul telling the church at Ephesus to put on the whole armor of God. And so as we put on the whole armor of God, remember that one of those pieces of armor protects the heart. And what protects the heart spiritually? Righteousness. He said to put on the breastplate of righteousness. Why would a soldier cover their breastplate? Why would they cover their chest? To protect their heart. Why in us, why would we in this Christian army need to put on that breastplate of righteousness? To protect our hearts. You see, Satan is trying to attack the heart. He's trying to attack everything that you have, whether that's love, whether that's desire, whatever is in your heart. He's trying to turn it evil. And he's going to keep working. And he's going to keep striving. Remember, Paul also said there, the reason we do that is because we don't wrestle against flesh and blood. We wrestle against a force out there like Satan, who is waiting to devour us. He is not trying to help us. He's not trying to encourage us. He's not trying to grow us. He's trying to destroy us. And because Satan is trying to destroy us, we've got to work really hard. There are a lot of things that the heart leads us to. If you think about it. If it's good, the heart's going to lead it. If it's bad, we're going to lead with the heart. What happens is it depends on what we let in it. It's what we allow in our hearts. For instance, if we've got love and good works, and we allow that in our hearts, that's what we're going to produce. But if we have anger, we have hatred, we have evil, then that's what's going to be produced. Remember, Jesus said, do not lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven, moth and rust destroy, thieves breaking and steal. Do not lay up for yourselves treasures on earth. I just butchered that whole verse there. Do not lay up for yourselves treasures on earth that moth and rust can destroy, thieves breaking and steal, but lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven. Why? For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. And so we've got to understand and ask the question, where's my treasure today? Where's my heart today? Is it where it needs to be? Is it producing what it needs to produce? Does it burn within me? Turn your Bibles to Luke chapter 24, please. I love this passage of Scripture. What we're going to do is we're going to read together verses 13 through 35. It's such a neat story about how Jesus can be around us and not even realize it, right? And so what happens in this story is just really remarkable, and it's very inspiring to me. So let's study it together. Luke chapter 24, beginning in verse 13. Now behold, two of them were traveling that same day to a village called Emmaus, which was 7 miles from Jerusalem. And they talked together of all these things which had happened. So it was while they conversed and reasoned that Jesus himself drew near and went with them. But their eyes were restrained, so they did not know him. Now, let me ask you as we pause for a moment in this story. If you knew Jesus was walking with you, Would you clean up a little? Would you clean up something? Would you stand a little taller? Well, the reality is, He is walking with us. He is part of our lives. He knows what we're doing. So, to me, I think it's such a powerful lesson that even though they did not realize it was Jesus walking with them, it was still Jesus. Verse 17. And He said to them, "What kind of conversation is that you have with one another as you walk and are sad?" Then the one whose name was Cleopas answered and said to Him, "Are you the only stranger in Jerusalem and have not known the things which have happened there in these days?" Now, obviously, Jesus knew firsthand what had happened, right? But here they are, they're walking, and they're like, are you kidding me? Are you the only one in this area who doesn't know what's happened? That's really what they're saying. And He said to them, "What things?" I love how Jesus is questioning their faith and their mindset here. So they said to Him, "The things concerning Jesus of Nazareth, who was a prophet, mighty in deed and word before God and all the people, and how the chief priests and our rulers delivered Him to be condemned to death and crucified Him. But we were hoping that it was He who was going to redeem Israel. Indeed, besides all this, today is the third day since these things happened." You see, their mindset is, this is the Savior. He's the one that's going to redeem us. He's the one that's going to help us. He's been in this grave and all these days have passed. These 3 days have passed now. "Yes," they said in verse 22, "and certain women of our company who arrived at the tomb early astonished us. When they did not find His body, they came saying that they had also seen a vision of angels who said He was alive. And certain of those who were with us went to the tomb and found it just as the woman had said, but Him they did not see." Now, pause again for a moment. They're telling this to the one who lived it, right? They're telling this to Jesus Christ. However, they do not realize it's Jesus of Nazareth. They do not realize it's the Christ. But isn't it powerful that they're still telling the story? I mean, how much does Jesus walk with us and we never tell the story? How many times do we encounter people, Jesus watching, and our heart says, "Oh no, don't help them." You see, that's what we're talking about today. Where are our hearts? Do they truly belong to Him? I think everybody in here has that desire. My heart is going to belong to Jesus. But at the same time, it's going to belong to this and this and this and this and this and this and this. And if this and this and this and this need to happen, then Jesus will take a third, fourth, fifth place in my heart. You see, that's not what it should be. He wants our whole heart. Our whole heart should belong to Jesus. And our whole heart should love to tell the story. Now verse 25. "Then He said to them, 'O foolish ones, and slow of heart to believe in all that the prophets have spoken, ought not the Christ to have suffered these things and to enter His glory?' And beginning at Moses and all the prophets, He expounded to them in all the Scriptures the things concerning Himself. Then they drew near to the village where they were going, and He indicated that He would have gone farther. But they constrained Him, saying, 'Abide with us, for it is toward evening, and the day is far spent.'" So, just to recap what's going on, They didn't have it all the way that it should be. They're telling the story, but some of it is not exactly the way that Jesus wants it told. So what's He doing? He's working on their hearts. Maybe your faith isn't where you want it to be. Allow Jesus to work on that heart. Maybe your mindset's not where you want it to be because your heart's not where you want it to be. Well, today we've got to allow Jesus to mold us. And so He tells them and He teaches them. Now again, they do not realize it's Jesus. But they get to where they're going, right? And now it's evening, and He's like, hey, I'm out of here, so to speak. And they're like, no, it's late. Please stay with us. Verse 29, the middle of it, and He went in to stay with them. Now it came to pass, as He sat at the table with them, that He took bread, blessed and broke it, and gave it to them. Then their eyes were opened, and they knew Him. And He vanished from their sight. And they said to one another, here it is, did not our heart burn within us while He talked with us on the road and while He opened the Scriptures to us? So they rose up that very hour, returned to Jerusalem, found the 11 and those who were with them and gathered together saying, the Lord is risen indeed and has appeared to Simon. And they told about the things that had happened on the road and how He was known to them in the breaking of bread. Did our hearts not burn within us? My question to all of us today as we continue in this lesson, as we examine where we are your hearts burning for Jesus Christ? Are our hearts on fire for Jesus Christ? You see, He was walking with them and they didn't realize it was Jesus. They were talking about Him. They didn't realize it was Jesus. Jesus taught them some more. They didn't realize it was Jesus. They invited Him in. They didn't realize it was Jesus. All they knew is their heart was burning. And then all of a sudden, when their eyes were open, they said, hey, it's Jesus. Jesus Christ wants to walk with us. He wants to teach us. He wants to help us. He wants to mold us. But we've got to allow Him into our hearts. How do we make sure our hearts are renewed? I believe we listen to the Scriptures here. How do we have that renewed heart? How do we have that heart that burns? What did they do? They said, open our eyes. Back in verse 16 of this, of Luke 24, but their eyes were restrained, so they did not know Him. Now, obviously, they're going to open, and that was on purpose, and they're going to open and see Him later. But in order for us to see Jesus and have Jesus living within us, we got to open our eyes to Him. There are things that sometimes cloud our judgment. There are things that sometimes get in the way. Sometimes we can get tunnel vision. I've done that before when somebody was talking to me, and I may have looked like I was talking back to them, but I'm looking straight through them. Why? Because I didn't see Him at all. There's something else on my mind. Well, you may have something else on your mind today. You may not see what's really before you. What's really before you is the Savior of the world. You want a renewed heart? Open your eyes. Secondly, it makes sense, right? We've got to allow Him in. Verses 28 and 29, they drew near to the village where they were going, and He indicated that He would have gone farther, but they constrained Him, saying, abide with us, for it is toward evening, and the day is far spent, and He went in to stay with them. Today, we cannot close Jesus off. What is He doing? He's standing at the door knocking. We got to let Him in. Now, when we let Him in, we got to make room. Remember, when He was born, there was no room. There was no room at the inn for Jesus Christ. Today, as Jesus Christ is sitting on the throne at the right hand of God, there better be room. We've got to make room. You've heard that before. Somebody wants to ride with you or whatever. Hey, let me make some room. And that's okay, right? Sometimes we get some things scattered here and about in our vehicles, and we've got to make room. Well, sometimes we get things scattered in our heart. We get cluttered in our heart. We've got to clean it up. We've got to make some room. That may mean you've got to take some things out of your heart. You see, that comes with priorities. That comes with a Matthew 6, verse 33 attitude. Seek first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. If I put Him first, then that means the other things in my life that are first, they got to come way after that. Because it's got to be Him. So open our eyes, allow Him in, and then thirdly, we got to commune with Him. Verse 30. Now it came to pass, as He sat at the table with them, that He took bread, blessed it, and broke it, and gave it to them. Communion is a very intimate setting. Grady did a great job today directing our minds there. And so as we eat that bread and we drink that cup that represents Christ's broken body and spilled blood on the cross, remember, He said that one day He's going to do it with us in heaven. But a lot of times we reference that Last Supper. And isn't it neat in the Last Supper that even Judas, He broke bread with. Can you imagine the enemy that's going to deliver you up and you know it? Jesus intimately had communion there. Now He pointed out that He was going to be the one who betrayed Him. But see, that communion with Christ, that's special. Intimacy is a special thing. In fact, when I deal with people who are struggling maybe in their marriage, in a counseling setting, a couple things we talk about is, how's your relationship with God? If you're not married to Jesus Christ, you're going to have problems. If the husband's not married to Christ, if the wife's not married to Christ, there's going to be problems. Why? Because clutter's coming in. Another thing we talk about is communication. You got to be able to talk and hear and listen and speak well and speak in the right ways. But a third thing we talk about is always intimacy. And see, our society has made intimacy a word that's not really what it means. You know, you hear couples be like, or you hear something on television, well, they were intimate with one another, meaning that they had slept with each other. But the reality is this, intimacy is extreme closeness. Today, if you are going to allow Jesus Christ to change your heart, if I'm going to allow Jesus Christ to change my heart, I've got to open my eyes, got to allow Him in, I've got to be intimate with Him. I've got to know Him. He's got to know me. So my question today as we get ready to close this out is this. How do you know? How do you know today if you are where you need to be spiritually? How do we know today if my heart truly belongs to Him? We're going to look at some things that I believe the Bible teaches us that will remind us. It's a good test for us to know if our hearts are truly burning for Jesus Christ. Number one, if my heart is truly burning for Jesus Christ, then we are not satisfied with the minimum. Matthew 5, 38 through 41. You have heard that it was said, an eye for an eye and a tooth for a tooth, but I tell you not to resist an evil person. But whoever slaps you on your right cheek, turn the other to him also. If anyone wants to sue you, take away your tunic, let him have your cloak also. And whoever compels you to go 1 mile, go with him too. You see, in order to have my heart truly burn for Jesus Christ, I can't be satisfied with the spiritual minimum. I mean, if you have an employer, are they satisfied with you doing the minimum work? If you are the executive of your own business, are they satisfied with you? Are you satisfied with your employee doing the minimum work? Are teachers satisfied with their students making the minimum grade? Are parents satisfied with it? Well, we understand the answer to that is no. Well, do you think our God is satisfied with minimum? No way. He is a jealous God. And He wants to be Lord of all lords of your life. He is King. He's on the throne. That might mean we got to go that extra mile. Listen, last week we talked a lot about complacency. But if I'm not willing to go the extra mile, then I am in danger of being complacent. I'm in danger of being lazy. In our Bible class this morning, we're looking at Romans chapter 12 and talking about the characteristics of an ideal Christian. And one of those is, do not be lazy. Don't be the sluggard. Don't be the slothful. Spiritually, we can't be lazy. We got to get up. We got to take up that cross. We got to work. Another way we'd know if our hearts are burning within us for Jesus Christ, we're not going to play games with God. Matthew chapter 12, verse 30, he who is not with me is against me. And he who does not gather with me scatters abroad. Adam and Eve tried to play a game with God. It's a game that's, I guess that's where it originated. Hide and seek. You remember what happened? They were in paradise. Man, it couldn't get any better, right? Their job was to be fruitful, multiply. Yes, they had to go and they had to go out and harvest, but they didn't have to plant it. Think about that. What farmer would love to just go out and pick a crop and be able to have all these blessings coming and they didn't have to plant any of it? That's what Adam and Eve had. They had the Garden of Eden, the best fruit, the best you could have. Just go out and harvest it. God planted it all. But Satan entered their lives. He slithered right in. And after that, they realized, after they ate of the tree of knowledge of good and evil, they realized, hey, we're naked. And we're ashamed. And so, not only did they try to cover it up, but when they heard God, they went and hid. Now, God asked the question, where are you? I've told this story before, but Madeline was real little. We would play hide and seek. We did it with Bo too. But she didn't like to be scared. And so if she was it and Daddy was hiding, she would always say, Daddy, where are you? Or if I was trying to find her, she would be like, I'm in here. God knew exactly where Adam and Eve were. They didn't have to cry out, hey, I'm in here. But God asked the question, where are you? Where are your hearts? Where are you spiritually? You can't play hide and seek with God. He knows where you are. And we can come in here and we can play games, right? What game are you talking about, Terry? I'm talking about the worship game. I'm talking about I can dress up. And I can look my best, put on my Sunday best. And I can sit in these pews. And Joseph or Steve or Jason or whoever comes up here and leads us, they can lead these songs and I can bellow it out with all my voice. And that man can pray and I'll be like, amen. And that scripture was read and I'll be like, that was a great scripture read. Terry, you did a great job preaching. But all along, I can be hiding from God. See, you can kid a kid. You can fool a fool, but you can't kid or fool God. If my heart is burning within me, I'm not going to play games with God anymore. I'm going to get right. I'm going to get serious. Thirdly, when my heart is right with God, I know that I cannot be defeated. Romans 8 verse 1 reads, there is therefore now no condemnation to those who are in Christ, who do not walk according to the flesh, but according to the Spirit. I hear that verse quoted a lot. Hey, there's therefore now no condemnation of those who are in Christ Jesus, etc., etc. But the key phrase in that is in Christ Jesus, in Christ. If I am outside of Christ, there's a lot of condemnation. If I've only got one foot in Christ, and the rest of me is outside of Christ, there's a lot of condemnation. If I've got three quarters of me in Christ, and the rest of me is outside of Christ, there's a lot of condemnation. But if I've got all of me, all my heart, all my mind, all my soul, all my all, in Christ, there is no condemnation. That's what that verse is saying. And then he said, verse 31, what then shall we say to these things? If God is for us, who can be against us? If I am burning within for Jesus Christ today, for God Almighty today, there is no force, no being, no anything that can defeat me. Nothing. Worst case scenario, somebody comes and takes your life today. It would be very sad for us. But if your heart is burning within you, it won't be sad for you. Paul said, for me to live is Christ and to die is gain. As long as I live, church at Philippi, whether I'm in a prison cell, whether I'm at home, wherever I am going to live it for Jesus Christ. Guess what? If they take my head tomorrow, look at what I've gained. See, that's the mindset, right? That's the heart. That's the attitude. Does your heart burn for Jesus Christ? Fourthly, how do you know? We'd be living a happy, confident life. I love the rich young ruler. I'm sorry. I love that story because of the power it teaches. But I love the Ethiopian eunuch story is where I meant to go with that. In Acts chapter 8, verses 35 through 39. This is such a great... If you need to know how to teach somebody about baptism or teach somebody about Jesus, you want to lead somebody to Christ, this is my go-to because it's so simply put. You don't have to have all the Old Testament books and New Testament books memorized. You don't have to know the theme to all of them. You don't have to even know how to find them in your Bible. But you got to know Jesus. And if you know Jesus and you're immersed in Him, then you ought to live a happy, confident life. Listen to this. Philip opened his mouth and beginning at this scripture was Isaiah 53. Preach Jesus to him. Now as they went down the road, they came to some water. And the eunuch said, see, here is water. See, somewhere in the meantime, you got to understand that he taught Jesus, but he taught how you get into Jesus. Because he said you get into Jesus by baptism. You have to conclude that from this story because the next point he sees water and he says, what hinders me? What is stopping me from being baptized? Philip said, if you believe with all your heart, you may. He answered and said, I believe, that's confession, right, that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. So he commanded the chariot to stand still. Both Philip and the eunuch went down in the water. He ain't rejoicing yet, by the way. He baptized him. Verse 39. Now when they came up out of the water, the Spirit of the Lord called Philip away so that the eunuch saw him no more. And he went on his way rejoicing. Why? Because his heart belonged to Jesus. People say, Jesus has got to live in your heart. You know what I say to them? You're exactly right. I don't try to build a wall when I'm talking to somebody. I'm trying to build a bridge, right? They believe, oh, I believe all you got, Jesus has got to be in my heart. Guess what? I do too. Now let's talk about how he gets there. You see, when I accept the free gift, when I accept Jesus Christ, it's after I've been immersed in water, that spiritual death, once I've put to death my old self, God contacts me with the blood of Jesus, and I come up out of that water born again, living a new life, walking in a new way. Just like that eunuch, once I do that, I need to come up rejoicing. And from that point forward, living a happy, joyful, confident life. Finally, in my points today, how do we know? Not satisfied with the minimum, don't play games with God, know that we can't be defeated, live a happy, confident life, and finally, we'll know because this world is becoming less attractive. Romans 12, 1 and 2, I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable to God, which is your reasonable service. and do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. Today, if you walked in here, and maybe you walked in about an hour late today, if you know what I mean, maybe it's because the world has still got you a little bit. Maybe it's because the bed was calling a little bit more. Maybe it's because you think, hey, there's not a book, chapter, verse on being here for that hour of Bible study. And Terry harps on that a lot. Well, I do. Because there should not have to be an argument on there's not a verse if my heart is where it needs to be. Now, there are other things that we can look at. Tomorrow when I go to work, how's my language going to be? And I'm not just talking about profanity. Is it going to be gossip? Is it going to be lying? Is it going to be half-truths, which is full lying? Am I going to tear people down? You see, these are questions that you got to ask yourself. They're hard questions. Is my heart truly burning for Jesus Christ? Well, if the world is still attractive, then the answer to that is it's not. Are you satisfied with the minimum? Are you playing games with God? Do you know right now there's a lot of things that can defeat you? Are you not living a happy, confident life? Is the world still attractive? When it comes down to it, you know, Jesus was the greatest teacher of all time. And I always say it this way. He said things that still matter 2,000 years later. I could say something won't matter in 2 minutes. Jesus is the greatest teacher of all time. And I love that He used so many examples, parables. He did miracles. But some of the greatest teaching He did was when they were arguing over who's the greatest in the kingdom. And He reached down and He picked up a child. And He said, unless you are converted and become like one of these, you will by no means inherit the kingdom of God. So I think it's fitting that we talk about a children's song. I used to sing it, I guess, BBS and different places I've taught it and sang it with kids at chapel and such, maybe at Bible camp. But the words are simple. Heart, heart. Giving my heart to Jesus. You see, that's a simple children's song. But that's really how easy it is. Today, if you want your heart to burn for Jesus Christ, then you just got to give it to Him. Today, do you want to construct a new you? Are you satisfied with the life you're living? Are you happy where you are? If the answer to that is no, I want to change, then the easiest thing to do today is change it. All you got to do is walk the aisle, submit it to God, and He'll do the rest. So today, are you willing to give Him your heart? If you are, and you have a need, let's do it right now together. We stand and sing.